This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Hi, how are you? My name is Simon Smart. You're listening to Life and Faith from the Centre for Public Christianity. I'm joined by Justine Toe. Hi, Justine.
Hi, Simon.
We might remember Napoleon for his military exploits and Beethoven for his Ninth Symphony, but these two men are also famous for having written love letters to the women in their lives. Now, the kind of love letter you wanted to talk about today, Justine, is a bit different from this, though, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And it was sparked off by a television advertisement for an internet browser that I caught on TV the other night. In this ad, a father opens an email account for his daughter when she's born, and he basically documents all the events of her life by sending emails to her. So he'll send her an email that says, "You lost your first tooth today. The tooth fairy must be getting very rich, etc., etc." And her dance recital and all that sort of thing. So, and the advertisement ends with him writing an email that says that he's been writing her since she was born and that he can't wait to share all these things with her. So the ad closes with the line, "The web is what you make of it," which, you know, even though it was an advertisement, it made me cry. So it was very, very effective
moving,
in a way.
Good advertisement. Now, you're interested then in how a father is effectively writing a love letter to his daughter.
Yeah, I mean, as you said, it is a bit different from the famous love letters of history that are exchanged between, you know, Napoleon and his women, etc., or woman. But this is a love story, or this is a love letter, exchanged from father to child via email. And it kind of got me thinking about love letters, and I came across the Australian artist Nick Cave's thoughts on the subject. He writes that the love letter is an extended meditation on one's beloved that serves to shorten the distance between writer and recipient. Now, I guess he's talking about physical distance, the physical separation between lovers. But in this case, between the father and the daughter, it's the distance is of time. Because the implication is that when she's old enough, the daughter will be able to go back through the email history and she can see how her dad has always been there expressing his love and affection for her.
So possibly when she's angry at him, it happens occasionally, the daughters are not happy with their dads later in life, all that sort of thing. So it presents a kind of an attractive model of fatherhood, doesn't it? Showing her that he's actually always been there for her.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think often in our culture, and in many cultures around the world, I think we take for granted the tender love of mothers for their children, but in some ways the figure of a tender father seems a little bit less familiar to us. And I've been reading Steve Bidoff's The New Manhood, and he actually talks about the different fathering models that men of the boomer generation in particular might be really familiar with. There's the controlling dad, the not under my roof kind of father. There's the, is that the best you can do, the critical father. There's also a passive father who just stands by and doesn't really do much, or the absent father who's off kind of, focusing on his career, etc. But Bidoff is calling for a fatherhood that is deeply involved and engaged in the lives of children. And I guess that we can see this, we can see an echo of this in the ad. But however, not of course, if the dad is away on business all the time and always just sending emails to his little girl.
Yeah, so nurturing, caring fathers are increasingly visible in our culture, aren't they? Not only through ads like this, but perhaps in films like I can think of Finding Nemo, The Pursuit of Happiness, Life is Beautiful. In these films, the father's close and intimate rather than distant and aloof.
Yeah, now the fathers of these films that you mentioned, they're quite maternal and often because I think that there's no mother to speak of in those films anyway. And it reminds me of the way that God is described in the book of Ruth. Now, Ruth, of course, she's left her people and decided to build a new life with Naomi, her mother-in-law, in Israel. But she's a bit of a cultural and religious orphan. She's out of place in Israel. And she's told by Boaz, who is the man that she will later marry, he says to her, "May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you've come to take refuge." Now, I'm interested in the imagery that Boaz describes God with. It pictures God as a brooding hen, which is a more feminine and nurturing image than we tend to associate with God.
Yeah, it's a great picture, isn't it? And God, in this case, gathers her into his family and treats her as a child.
Effectively.
That's a big theme of the book, isn't it? It's true also that God wants to extend that sort of invitation to all people. This is part of what we talk about when we talk about the book of Ruth. that God wants that sort of invitation to be available for all of us.
Yeah, absolutely. And it strikes me as well that the Bible is essentially a love letter. I think it doesn't only tell us that we're loved by God, but it actually is a history or a chronicle of all that God has done to show us his love. And of course, this reaches its pinnacle in Jesus, God's Messiah, who is foretold throughout the Bible. So just as this father in this ad is kind of sending this love letter email to his daughter, I think God is sending that love letter through the Bible to us today.
So reading the Bible as an extended love letter of God to his people.
Absolutely.
It's a great picture. Thanks, Justin.
Thank you.
This has been a Hope 103.2 podcast. For helpful articles, station news, videos, devotional emails, and more podcasts, visit hope1032.com.au.